Hi, this is Mario Scopel, and welcome to the Functional Tennis Podcast.
Welcome to Season 1, Episode 2 of the Functional Tennis Podcast. I'm Fabio Molle, your host. This week, we have ATP Tour Pro, Marius Copel. Marius has been a top 100 player since mid-2017 with a career high of 56. He's such a nice guy and always takes time to say hello at any tournament I've seen him at. Marius tells us of his junior days moving away from home to skipping the ITF junior circuit and on to being 4-1 up against the legend Roger Federer in the 2018 Basel final. Let's get it underway. Hello, Marius.
Hi. Hi.
So really excited to talk to you, and we would love to know like so much about you. But let's start with, where did tennis start for Marius?
Okay, so let's begin the journey. I started with 7 years. I started in Romania in a small city called Arad. I started because of my brother and my father, actually, because they played tennis. My father played for fun and my brother tried professionally, but he started kind of late. He started with 12, and it was tough for him to make it to a professional level. Then I was 7. I enjoyed more football, actually, soccer. I was a big fan of soccer, and for 3 years I did tennis and soccer at the same time. So I went to one practice of tennis for 2 hours, and then we went straight to soccer. And after 3 years, I decided to go for tennis because the coach of the team that I was playing for, he was putting me to play in defense all the time, and I wanted to be a striker.
I love it.
Score goals. And actually, I think my father talked to the coach and told him all the time, put him in defense.
Oh, yeah. It's your father's fault.
So I go for maybe, yeah. But, I mean, it's not a fault. Right now, I'm enjoying tennis a lot, and I love the sport. And I think it was the right decision for me to stick to tennis.
Do you still play a bit of football, or does the insurance not let you play football?
No, sometimes I play. I mean, when Indian Wells is on, we with the players, we get together there and we play sometimes. And I still play for fun a couple of times per year, but not much because I want to be careful with the injuries. And
tell me, are you in defense or attack when you play in Indian Wells?
Depends. Right now, I like to stay more in defense. I don't know why I don't like to score goals anymore as I used to love when I was small.
And who's the best tennis soccer player that you know? Who's the most skillful?
I think one of the most skillful is Benoit Paire.
Oh yeah,
Rafa plays really good. Yeah, he's a really good player. Rafa plays good.
I think if you look,
the Argentinian guys, yeah.
Oh, they're good. I think if you read a lot of tennis, if you speak to a lot of tennis players like yourself, used to be a good footballer. Rafa was a good footballer. Andy Murray was a good footballer. He had to make big decisions. So there's a lot to be said about playing a few sports as a kid. And normally, if you're good with one, you're probably good with the other.
I think it's very important as a small kid to make to play different sport arts because it helps your body also, you know, you react
coordination
faster, you gain coordination from different sports, and I think it's a very good opportunity to learn. And
great advice. So any parents listening, get your young kids playing as many sports as possible. So you were 7 year old, your brother was 12, he found it hard, so you just kept playing some, your local coach, you'd a local coach, you played some tournaments, and where did it go from there?
Yeah, after a couple of years, when I decided to go for tennis, me and my mom, we moved to Germany for 8 years. I think I was in Germany first in a city called Augsburg for a year and a half, and then we moved to Munich, and we lived there until I was 16, and then with 16 we moved for 3 years or 4 years to Florida until 2010, and then in 2010 I came back to Romania.
Wow, so that was just for, you moved specifically just for the tennis? Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. Like, I have read a bit about you online, but actually I didn't come across any of that information. And that's such a big commitment to make. It must have, was it hard or easy? How did you find it?
At the beginning it was hard because being a young kid in Romania, when I was 10, 11, the how to say, you know, there were no
Oh,
iPads,
yeah.
no computers, they were not that big by that time, and we were so many kids outside playing football, playing basketball, playing catch, you know, many different kids games, and we were around 50, 60 kids outside playing,
Wow.
and you know, getting me away from that and going to a different country. I was speaking German by that time. I was quite
Okay.
good at it. And but I didn't have the same, you know,
Yeah.
freedom, and I didn't enjoy the time so much as I used to enjoy it in Romania. So for me it was kind of tough at the beginning because they took like my childhood away. But I mean, I cannot blame my family for it, because if I wouldn't make that decision and wouldn't make that step to go to Germany or to a different country to start playing tennis, probably I would not be at the level that
Yeah,
I am now.
it was a it's a big sacrifice that had to be done that's been rewarded now. And
Yeah, I guess
did
so.
you?
Yeah. Also for my family, I thank them
Yeah,
for
that's
doing that.
a I could imagine
It's a big
it's
commitment,
hard.
and
It's a commitment, but so hard for them as well. Just being separated two different locations. And when you're in
yes.
Germany, did you train the training center? Were you in any camps that we know or?
I was at a small club when I went to Augsburg, to a smaller city, and then when I moved to Munich, I was at one academy at the beginning. It was Nick Marchand Academy, it's called, and then after I moved to Sportcheck Base, and there I trained with an ex-tennis player. His name is Oliver
Okay.
Gross. So I used to train with him for the last 3 years that I stayed in Germany. And
And
yeah, after that I moved
where
to
about
the
in the
US.
US did you go?
I went for
Off,
Lauderdale.
okay.
I went to the Academy of Tariq Benabiles, and I practiced there with him.
And
Yeah,
how old
just
were
me.
you when you left the States
20.
before, sorry, you hit 18. Did you play many of the ITFs, the junior tournaments?
I didn't play that much junior, because when I was 16, I
Oh
won my
wow.
first futures. Yeah. So I was with 16, I was ranked around 440, 450, something like that. And I mean, my family did a mistake, I would say, you know, not letting me play a lot of juniors, because they said, oh, well, look, with 16, you're playing well in futures. And then they just moved me straight to futures and challengers. And it was a big step for me forward without having lots of matches in juniors. And I think this kept me longer in
Did
challengers, honestly, because I didn't have those matches, you know, that you have in juniors, playing Grand Slam juniors or playing the three setters against another junior. You know, you have all the dramas and so on. So this, I think, I've missed in
so
my
you actually
career.
think that step, like you were good enough to play futures and challengers at a young age, but you think missing that step, not playing juniors and getting match tough was a big mistake. I've never really heard that before, so that's quite interesting.
Yeah, this is my
Yeah.
opinion. You know, I think it's a mistake that I've made in my career. I mean, it's not, I cannot say that it was my decision, because I
Yeah.
was 16. I couldn't know these things before. And my family, my father comes from rugby, my mom from handball, so they didn't know this sport. They just went by what they heard from another person or coaches. And but I think this is a mistake, you know, because in juniors you have
Yeah.
many matches. Some you lose, some you win. And I didn't play much. Played probably 15, 20 tournaments
Okay, well that's
in
still 15,
juniors.
20. I know it's not a lot. It's still a good bit, but sorry, just going back, your parents were professional athletes, is that correct?
Yes, yeah. My father did rugby
Brilliant.
and wrestling, national team. Yeah, and my
Great. So it
mom
must have been
handball.
great to have such good athletes in the house.
Yeah, it
Great.
helped
So
a lot.
we moved then from so you start playing futures, challengers, and you said you spent a long time playing futures and challengers from about 2010. When did you make the breakthrough into ATP tour events?
I started actually, well, not from 16 to 19, I was playing futures and challengers. So it took me around 2 years and a half to 3 years to get to play only challengers
Okay.
and not play futures anymore. And then challengers and ATPs took me another 5 years. You know, from 25, I started to play more ATP qualies and ATP and less challengers. And
And what's
2016, I did
oh yeah.
top 100, broke through top 100
How was the
there.
relief breaking through to top 100? Was there one particular match you
It was
was
amazing. It was one particular match. It was in Madrid. I had a wild card there thanks to Mr. Tyriak. I remember I played on court three. I
Yeah.
played Garcia Lopez, and I won in three sets. It was
Oh, wow.
9-7, something like that, in the tiebreak. Yeah, I remember at the beginning of the tiebreak, I was 3-0 down or something like that. And I looked at the coach and I said, man, I cannot anymore because the pressure is so much. And I knew with if I win that match, I'm going to be top 100. And I know many people from home, they were expecting me to be top 100 many years before. And, you know, I had this pressure. And then some started to
Oh,
say,
God.
oh, you're not going to make it. And,
Yeah.
you know, all this pressure that I had when I won, I shook hands with Guillermo and with the referee. And then I went on the bench and I sit down for a couple of minutes and I
That's
started to cry
amazing.
really a lot. And it was a big relief. And after that, I felt 25
Wow.
kilograms
That
lighter, kind
is
of thing.
amazing to hear, because I know, like, I've some Irish friends here who have been pro tennis players, but the top 100 has been the biggest hurdle. You know, it's such a big hurdle to break through, and it can be, you know how expensive and how expensive it is to finance the career, and breaking top 100 does make life a bit easier financially. And I can just imagine the pressure you're under, especially when you have expectations from your country. That must have been unbelievable.
It was tough, you know, because with 19, I played my no 18. I was actually 18 when I played my first Davis Cup match in doubles, and I played with Horia Tekau. We played World Group against Russia, and we played Safin and Tursunov, and
Wow.
we won in five sets against them in doubles. So for me, I was around 400
Oh,
ATP and
amazing.
winning against them, you know, after all the press and come, and they said, ah, this is gonna be the next guy to follow, and he's gonna be super quick on top, you know, in the top. And then I put a lot of pressure on me also, and I thought it's gonna come just like that, you know. And you have to work hard for it because there are so many players that they are willing to be in the top 100, and it's spot only
Yeah,
for 100
and not
players,
too
not
many
more.
players leave the
So
top 100 every year. I'm sure everybody wants to stay there, so
that's true.
it's really hard. And like, I just can't, I can't actually imagine.
And they
No.
don't quit anymore, you know. You see players playing with 39, 38,
Oh.
and they play great tennis, you know. They start with 34 to play their best tennis, and they're all fit, and the injuries are
Well, I
less,
think,
and
do you see a big difference now from
great.
when you started? And now, like, from fitness, from mobility, like strength and conditioning, like taking care of yourself, have you seen the big change in the past 6, 7 years, or has it always been good?
Tennis changed in the last 10 years quite a lot, and now with the prize money in the Grand Slams being higher and higher, it helps also the players that they are ranked from 50 and higher to afford also a fitness coach or a physio with them, and this improves your game, your health also, and your career also is going to be longer. And that's why I think the players that are lower ranked,
Struggle.
their top 100 or 150, they used to struggle, and now they are better, and the level is higher and
Yeah,
higher in tennis than it used to
I find
be
it's a
10
bit of
years
a,
ago.
from looking on the outside, it's a bit of a chicken and egg situation where, okay, the guys say I need the trainer, I need the coach with me, but they don't have the money. And then you sort of have to figure out a way to make the breakthrough, get the extra bit of finance, and then keep going, growing and growing. Or I know some players are lucky, they have good financial sponsors and that can make life easy, but sometimes those with the sponsors don't get far. So I find it's very tough to get right. I did see a tweet today, or sorry, the other day by Vasek Popsil, and he was saying roughly costs between for 30 weeks having a coach and physio cost between $300,000 and $400,000. Is that a bit high, or is that correct?
Yeah, No, I think it's a
Well,
medium estimated around medium, because I'm totally sure that the guys in the top 10
oh, they pay a lot more.
have expenses that they are with I would say maybe
Yeah, oh well,
another
that's
zero there. I don't know. It's a
I
lot of
would I think the
expenses,
guys
you
in the top
know.
10 earn an extra zero or two as well. So I think it's probably it's a bit.
Of course, no, this is true. And but also the expenses are high for
Yeah.
them and for us also. So him saying 300,000 per year for his cost and two coaches, that's either fitness or physio, it's around 300,000, 400,000, depending also the
Yes.
country you're from, many
Yes.
things. But
Okay,
he's
great.
probably
So,
right.
yeah, so you've been
Yeah.
consistently now competing on the ATP Tour circuit. You have some great wins. Let's briefly talk about your great run last year at Basel. I thought that was an amazing run. You had some great wins. I think you beat both the Zverev brothers, Lajovic, Harrison, Cilic, Fritz. That must have been an amazing week then to face Federer. It was the first time you played Federer, am I correct?
Yeah, it was the first time, and playing
Wow.
him in the final at his home, it was great. You know, I was wishing since I started playing tennis and I saw him on tour, I said, wow, I would like to play this guy one time at least. And my dream came true, and playing him at his home tournament in the final, I mean, it's a great honor, you
And
know,
was there was
to play him there instead of, I
yeah
know, for first round in
I
a
think
Grand
it
Slam
sounds like an
or
amazing
500.
experience. Was there much pressure on the day, or did you feel relaxed?
Honestly, the night before, I felt a little bit wow, you know, I'm gonna play the guy that I admire so much, and
Oh
I didn't fall asleep easy. But then the day I played him before entering the court, I had no more problems. I was thinking on me, what I have to do, the game plan that I'm willing to play, and I didn't
wow.
look at my opponent and who's the opponent. Just I was
Yeah, no,
focusing
was it
on
it was tight, it
myself.
was 7-6, 6-4. Was it
Seven, no,
tight?
yeah, seven, six, six, four. But in the both sets, I was 4-1 up,
No.
3-0 up, and
Oh
then
no.
the
Do
emotions
you
coming.
feel is there a bit of that where I'm a break up against Roger here. I can hold my serve here now, or I'm two games away from the set. You start dreaming a little bit.
Yeah, you
Oh,
start thinking, oh wow, I'm going to win the first
yeah.
set. Oh, you know how it's going to be, and maybe I have a chance to beat him. And you start thinking on some other things instead of each ball, what you have to do, and the routine between the points and so on. So that was a mistake that you do at the beginning. That's why when you hear people saying that he has no experience or a player doesn't have experience, I think this is what they mean by experience. You know, playing those matches many times against great players, and just breathe and think about what you have to do instead of I'm gonna win.
This podcast is brought to you by ASICS Tennis. ASICS is a Japanese company founded in 1949 with the purpose of giving more people the opportunity to experience how sport and movement can have a positive impact on mental well-being. That purpose is also in their name. ASICS is an acronym which means Anime Sano Incorporate Sano, a Latin phrase meaning sound mind, sound body. Today, the brand is still dedicated to that founding belief of demonstrating the positive effects sport and movement can have on our mental well-being all over the world. They just launched their most innovative tennis range ever, which includes the new Court FF3 Novak, the shoe designed from the ground up with the help of Novak Djokovic. Get your pair now at asics.com. Even at junior, even at
Happens,
any level, being a lower level, you're playing somebody who you want to play well against, and you get those tight points or you get those leads. And I don't think you have to be a superstar, or it doesn't matter what level you are, but these things happen to everybody. It's only natural.
yeah, it's natural. But as I told you, I didn't have those in juniors. So then, playing more juniors, you get used to those moments, and then probably when you break through,
To handle them.
it's gonna be more easy, you know, because you were there. You had those situations in juniors, and if you have the experience there, then it's
Yeah.
much easier to
Yes, I agree. I
grasp.
agree. So moving now on to 2019 has been, I saw you in the Australian Open. I saw you practice. I didn't see your match in the Australian Open. And then you've gone from week to week. Mm-hmm. And I saw you at Roland Garros there. I saw you practice again. I didn't see your match. And I was watching the doubles. Is this something new you're doing? Or is there any reason why you play doubles or just because you love it?
First of all, I want to thank Rohan for playing with me, Bopana, and for choosing me. I learned a lot from him, and I think it was a great run playing for the first time and winning. We won 2-3 matches, and then we lost to Janko and Dušan.
Yeah.
Kind of unlucky because we had a match point, and on the match point, he was trying to play a passing shot, and it wouldn't have been a winner, but the ball touched my back, so maybe we lost the point. And it was really close. The match was great, great crowd there, and it was fun to play. And I'm thinking of playing also more doubles because I enjoy it. Now I start to enjoy it. Before I didn't enjoy it because I didn't know how to play, honestly.
Great, so
but now and I understand the doubles game also, and I would like to play as much as possible also. It's helping also my type of game. It was more serve and volley, returning and volleying. So this is it's good for my reflex too. So
there's no well, it's only great. Pluses. Helps your returns, no your serve, your ball, everything. It's great. And will you play? Are you going to be playing with Bopana in Wimbledon?
No. He plays with somebody else. I'm not sure who he's going to team up with. I'm playing with Hugo Humbert, the French player. So I'm playing with him.
That's exciting. I'm hoping to get over to Wimbledon, so I might see another practice session. I'm curious to know, what bits of advice you have for junior tennis players who want to make it. A lot of our fans and functional tennis players are juniors. A lot of them, some great juniors there, some ordinary juniors there, but a lot of them love tennis and a lot of them dream of being a professional tennis player one day. So I'm just curious to learn from somebody who's become a top 100 Grand Slam player, Davis Cup player. And what advice would you have for a young junior today that they can listen and take on board?
First of all, also for the parents of those kids, to not put pressure on them, because this, I think it's very important. So the kids, when they go and play, either they win, they lose, you treat them the same, and, you support your kid, because I saw many, many families that when their kids lose, they start to yell at them, they scream, oh, you're bad, and this and that. And I think this doesn't help, each tennis player. Either it's a male or a female, doesn't matter, but just a junior in particular. And is the most important, because even if the player, the junior, he likes playing tennis, but your family comes and tells, oh, you're so bad, you lost, or why did you lose, or this can get your confidence, or the pleasure of playing this sport can get away.
So parents,
and, it's not nice. And then this is for the parents, yes. And then for the kids to enjoy and trust all the process, what you're going through, because playing tennis, each week you have a tournament, most of the weeks you're gonna lose one match. So you have to get used to it. And, know what your goal is and work for your goal, not for the results. If you want to improve something, improve your game, and if you know it's the right way,
just be patient.
Then the results will come. This is what, be patient and work for what you want to improve and work on your game, because the results is just, I don't know how to say it in English, but the results will come with when you improve the game
what's the biggest difference? Sometimes people don't understand. Sometimes I don't understand also. What is the biggest difference between a guy who's a challenger person, the person who's playing challengers for 7-8 years and who just can't make the breakthrough to the top 100, to the ATP tour? What do you see is the biggest difference between somebody who can't make the breakthrough? Is it mental? Is it physical? Is it strokes, or is it all? Is it everything?
I don't think it's strokes. I don't think it's talent, because I've seen many players that they are between 100 and 200, and they don't make it top 100 or even less. They are 300. They play great. I have some friends, not friends, but guys that I know when they play tennis, they are 400, 500. They could be, in my opinion, a player that is top 100 ATP. But first of all is the professionalism is not there. And if you see the top 100 players, they are all working really hard, and they know what they have to do, and they do everything from practice. Each ball, it's when they work and when they hit. I mean, it's focused full time, and they don't play around. So if you're really focused there and you know what you're doing and you have a game plan and you know you have a good scheduling and you're doing all this, everything is professional.
That's interesting.
You're gonna make it to the top 100. If you take care of your body and you go, you do the stretching, you do fitness, you do massage, you know all these things, and you don't skip them, because sometimes it can be boring. You know, you go there, I have to do half an hour of stretching. You think, and let's take my phone with me and I stretch half an hour, but it's not the same stretching. It's better to leave the phone, go half an hour, think of what you did in the practice for when you're doing the stretching.
It's your job.
Listen to your body, see if you can stretch the muscle more or less. Yeah, it's a job, and if you do it well, you can earn well. You can earn respect from many people. You can be a person that many kids look up to, or many people admire you, and you can do many great things in this world. And I love it when some people come to me and they say, "Oh, I admire you, and I loved your match, and you know, and I was cheering for you." For me, this is everything. You know, this helps a lot, and this keeps my motivation.
That's amazing. Thank you very much for taking the time to do this. I really appreciate it, and I wish you all the best of luck. I hope all your hard work pays off later on, in from now onwards in the season and next year and the year after. And I hope the doubles goes well today, but I'm sure I'll see you at some tournament in the next while. And thank you very much.
Thank you for thinking of me and having the opportunity to talk. I hope some people are gonna listen and they enjoy. I hope to see you soon. Keep in touch. All the best.
Hope you enjoyed that episode with Marius and took some learnings from it. Remember, hit the subscribe button, leave us a comment, and I'll see you next week. Bye.